Hello, hello. Good afternoon, everybody. It is 3:01, actually, a little bit, on Monday, October 21st. This is Afternoons with Harley D. I am your host, Harley D. Hello, it's good to hear everybody, see everybody. How's your day? I had a good weekend. I worked a lot, as always. And I got a new computer, so I'm pretty excited about it. I've got all my stuff on the show on here, so I'm pretty excited about it. So let's get started with the show. Talk about celebrities. We're gonna first start off with report that about Gwyneth Paltrow. Vanity Fair, the magazine, which I love Vanity Fair. They do really good exposés, but just they do a lot of really informative articles about almost anything, politics, models, fashion, lifestyle, really almost anything. And they're really well-researched, well-written articles, and they're good to read for anybody. They are the editor-in-chief. His name is Graydon Carter. He is going to run a story against Gwyneth Paltrow's wishes. And if you don't know who Gwyneth Paltrow is, I think you've been living under a rock for the last 10 years. She is an actress who, she's done a lot. She won an Oscar in, I think, the 90s. She wore a really pretty pink dress. It's kind of like an iconic Oscar moment. She won that for Romeo and Juliet. But the Vanity Fair magazine is going to release this magazine or this article in the next couple weeks. I couldn't really get a date on when it's coming out, but it'll probably be in like the November issue or something. They have a reporter named Vanessa Grigoriadis. She is a celebrity reporter, apparently a pretty popular celebrity reporter, and she's really good at what she does. Vanity Fair gave her the article, and she's basically going to paint Gwyneth Paltrow as a celebrity decreasing in popularity and basically kind of a total witch with a B. Gwyneth Paltrow in the last couple months has been trying to fight off rumor, this whole thing. She has emailed all of her high priority friends, or not high priority, but you know, celebrity friends. You know, she knows a lot of people. Her family's, her parents are both famous. She's a pretty famous person. She emailed all her friends asking them not to respond to Vanity Fair because Vanity Fair was going out against her. And she knew it once she found out that the article wasn't going to be a very nice article, she decided that she didn't want to participate. And so I don't know how Vanity Fair can do this, because I know that like if in the article that I saw on Radar Online, she sent a message to her, an attorney threatening to sue if they released a report about her, about, I think it was cheating rumors. Let's find it. Yeah, the Star magazine, which is a celebrity magazine, they were going to release a story about her that wasn't in good light, painted her in the light that she branded herself in. So she threatened to sue him. But Vanity Fair, for some reason, can do this. I don't know why. I need to find that out. But this article is basically going to go just like ream her, basically, saying that she's like a total diva. She refused to, like, for an example, she goes to this gym, probably a very, very nice gym, and she, when she takes a shower, she demands that someone wipe down the showers for her before she goes in the shower. So, you know, so like her little assistant goes in there with a wipey and wipes the whole thing down. You know, that's normal, not. And she also demands that they keep her own stock of water bottles that no one else can have, it seems like. It's just kind of weird. But she's really upset about it. She thinks, they're also going to come out with a thing about Winona Ryder. Apparently, Winona Ryder was the first actress that was supposed to be up for Romeo. It's not Romeo. What am I thinking? It is Shakespeare in Love. You silly. Sorry, it's Shakespeare in Love she won an Oscar for. I'm sorry. Let's go back to that. But Winona Ryder was apparently up for the gig that she Gwyneth Paltrow ended up getting. But Gwyneth Paltrow first saw the article, or I'm sorry, not the article, the script at Winona's house, and Gwyneth ended up somehow stealing the article, or I mean not the article, the script. And Gwyneth Paltrow got the part and won an Oscar, and apparently they haven't spoken since. And another Gwyneth Paltrow apparently also had a kind of a feud with Madonna, because both Madonna and Gwyneth Paltrow are kind of big in the fitness world. They're both like 40, 50 something moms. I think Madonna's a little bit older, but they're both like middle-aged women that are really into health and fitness and looking good and staying young. And so they have a lot of things in common, but they ended up, both of their companies ended up clashing with each other. So they stopped speaking with each other over that. I guess, I don't know why. I mean, it's just business. Like, how can business get that personal? I don't know. And also the report's going to come out that Gwyneth Paltrow cheated on Ben Affleck when they were together, and Brad Pitt. Those are some of the hottest men in the world. And you cheated on them? I do not get it. It is insane. And she also, this article is just basically going to paint her in a really bad light, saying that she's just really too, she's too much, she's kind of got her head in the clouds, and she doesn't really care about anybody else, and she kind of is a very big celebrity, and is kind of up her nose, and so she's really upset about it. That's what's going on with Gwyneth Paltrow. It's, I don't know. I mean, she kind of sounds like a, she doesn't sound like a nice person, to be honest. we're going to talk about Justin Bieber again. Because, well, this isn't really about Justin Bieber. It is about apparently it's his favorite all-time fan or whatever, some guy. This guy is 33 years old. His name is Toby Sheldon, and he lives in Los Angeles. He's a songwriter. And his goal or his dream in life was to look like Justin Bieber. He thought that he could do it. So he did it. he had over 100 surgeries, and I'll tell you what he had. I'm sorry. He had a chin reduction, a couple eyelid surgeries, multiple hair transplants, and face filler procedures. And he looks like a girl. He looks even more girly than freaking Justin Bieber. And Justin Bieber doesn't look like a man. Like, he's not somebody I would expect to protect me. I'd expect him to just act like the idiot that he is and just not make a good impression on me. Anyways, no. So the Justin Bieber thing, there's on Radar Online, there's pictures of his before, and he looks okay. He's kind of got some girly features, and then he just gets these more girly features, and he transplants his hair, and I mean, that's crazy. he said that once Justin shot to fame, his face was everywhere, and all I kept thinking was, when I saw his picture, was I want to look like him, Sheldon told the Daily Mail. Toby Sheldon, the guy, he was denied by multiple plastic surgeons because they thought he was crazy. And I think he kind of is. It's kind of weird. He's not going to get famous for looking like Justin Bieber. I mean, I guess you could be an impersonator in Vegas, but that's about it. That's not cool. Like, that's not fame. You're hiding behind your own self. Like, that's just weird and creepy. I'd be creeped out if I was Justin Bieber. Like, that is for sure. So let's see. We're going to talk about something a little bit more fun. Kelly Clarkson. I love her. I loved her since she came on from American Idol. She's great. I love all of her music. She got married over the weekend. She got married in Wallin, Tennessee. And the pictures that were released, she tweeted on her Twitter account. It was really nice. She had a really pretty dress on. It was very country-esque. She looks really great. And she married her, obviously, her fiancé named Brandon Blackstock. and they look very happy. It's very exciting. I'm so excited. Couple months ago, I can't even remember when, but she basically, like, they're going to plan this huge, huge wedding, and she decided that that was getting a little bit too much overwhelming. I read a couple reports saying that she was upset that details of the wedding had been released, and most celebrities don't want to release everything out. I mean, some do, but most don't, and so she was upset about that. So they just decided to they said elope, but they didn't really elope, because eloping would, to me, would be like, oh, let's get in the car and let's go to the courthouse right now, or let's do it right now. But I think they just did a kind of toned down wedding, and it looked really great. So I'm really, really happy for her. It's really, really amazing. Jealous. And we're going to go to creepy weirdo dude, CeeLo Green. He's a singer-songwriter, and he's a judge on The Voice, the show. I've never watched it. I'm not a big fan of any of the reality shows. I love reality shows. But the, music competition ones, I think they're kind of getting kind of a little bit old. After the third season of American Idol, I couldn't watch it anymore. It just got a little bit annoying. But so I haven't watched The Voice. It seems a little bit cheesy. But he is a judge, and he's been a judge for a while. He was off the show for a while, and la 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 la, but now he's back on. He was facing sexual assault charges in LA because he's creepy. And a woman basically accused him of putting ecstasy or MDMA in her drink. The woman, they met at a sushi restaurant bar for dinner. And of course the woman's not being named because it's in a sexual assault case. It's journalism 101. You don't do that. Los Angeles prosecutors reportedly had thrown out the sexual assault charge based on the lack of sufficient evidence. The unidentified woman told the police that after Green slipped a drug in her drink, she woke up later naked in bed with him with no recollection of how she got there. Which, I don't get how that's not enough sufficient evidence. That's creepy. You can't remember how you got somewhere, and you know, like, this guy just kind of, you met him at that night. That's weird. I would be weird. So weirded out by that. And you wake up naked in bed. That's even weirder. That is all I gotta say about that. I just think that is like the legal system not doing their job, because that is definitely, to me, that's sufficient evidence. But I'm not the judge, I'm not the lawyer, I can't say what actually happened, I wasn't there. But to me, that's BS. But so, in other news about CeeLo Green, he has a reality show coming out on TBS, which probably means it won't last more than a season, called The CeeLo Life. And it follows his personal professional exploits. It's going to debut next year. But of course, they're going to skip over the subject matter because, you know, PR 101, you don't need that in the works. But I don't really like that. He always wearing sunglasses. I don't trust guys who are always wearing sunglasses. It's weird. Putting on a front. That's what I have to say about that. That's my doohickey of the day. La la la. Okay, so I wanted to play a little PSA for you guys. We are having a little at Dominican Radio or Dominican Radio at this school. We're having a show. You guys are gonna need to come to. So I'm gonna play that for you. It's by DJ May. You are listening to Radio. Dominican.edu. I am Harley D. This is Afternoons with Harley D. And I'll be back.
Already heard, the much anticipated Soul Candy event is almost here. Join us for an incredible showcase of awesome music, poems, and dance from the talented students of Dominican University. The showcase starts at 7 and seats fill up fast, so make sure you arrive early. That's Wednesday, October 23rd at 7 p.m. in Angelico Hall for a night filled with artistic pleasure. See you then.
mother, father, please explain to me why a world so full of mystery, a place so bitter and still so sweet, so beautiful and yet so full of sad, sad. Mother, father, please explain to me why forests march to deserts be, while snow-capped mountains melt away. What do we tell our babies? What do we say? Oh, mother, father, please explain to me how a man who rocks his child to sleep pulls the trigger on his brother's heart. He digs a hole right to the middle of this storm of hatred. Mother, father, please explain to me how it could be so this world has come to be. Precious balance in between, such cruelty and such kindness. Please, please, mother, father, please explain to me how this world has come to be. Unequaled in her blessings, oh, I see unbridled hatred so extreme. Please tell me, mother, father, please explain to me this world has come to be so twisted between time and dreams. Oh, mother, father, please explain to me. What's all this talk about? All this talk about it. Explain to me how this world has come to be, while still blessed in all the things we see. Such a sad, sad home for you.
I'm back. Hi, hi, hi. It's Harley D. It's Afternoons with Harley D. This is my show. What's up? How you doing? Glad that you could make it. It is about 3:20 in the afternoon. And I'm going to get on to my quick news. I wanted to first start out with something that happened pretty recently in the morning, actually. There was a Nevada shooting. Another school shooting in Nevada. Happened in northern Nevada, and two people were injured and two people were shot dead. One of them was the shooter, and one of them was a faculty member who was apparently trying to help save some students, and he said, or he or she, I couldn't really find out what it was, but he or she say risked their life. And one student that was injured had gone through surgery, and the other one was doing okay. He was shot, obviously, but it wasn't life-threatening. And the Wausau County School District Chief of Police, Mike Mieris, said during a news conference that one of the dead appeared to be the student who is the suspect in the case. Police said there is no apparent motive yet for the shooting, and they believe the gunman acted alone. The area is now secure, but Sparks Middle School will remain closed for the rest of the week. What is that, like the third or fourth school shooting this year? It's just insane. The NSA today is being blamed or being is under fire because the French government summoned a U.S. ambassador to talk about a report that was leaked by the Edward Snowden guy, who's just coming out with everything. He's just screwing the government left and right. He really hates us, or he hates the government. But the report basically said that the NSA tracked 70 million French telephone calls in a 30-day period. And it documented from December 10th, 2012 to January 8th, 2013. So the beginning of this year and the end of last year. The National Security Agency had carried out extensive electronic surveillance in France, a French newspaper reported Monday, drawing an angry condemnation from an important American ally. Yeah, France and the United States are kind of sort of homies. The report did not make entirely clear what exactly the NSA had swept up, but it appeared that the agency took a vacuum cleaner approach in recording the 70 million communications. The report said, including telephone calls and instant messages, and it was not clear how many of those were listened to or read. And the French are pissed, basically. They're freaking pissed. So, but the budget here in America, you know, because nothing can get better than that. A new budget battle is brewing in D.C., even though the Republicans finally allowed the government to be reinstated. It's only for a short time. This happened on Friday, Thursday. A 29-person bipartisan committee from the House and Senate is facing a December 13th deadline to develop a plan both parties can agree on. One thing certain, though, both parties do not want a government shutdown. Actually, that's the Tea Party does. They Ted Cruz and all those dudes and Michelle Bachmann all have said that a government shutdown would be necessary, but I don't really, they're the extremist of the Republican Party, and most of the Republican Party doesn't want that. The temporary deal that reopened the government only provides funding through January 15th and raises the debt ceiling until February 7th. So they have, you know, the Congress and the Senate should, you know, during their Christmas time, they should be probably, instead of spending time with their family, they should be hammering this out so we don't have to deal with what we had to deal with for the last couple weeks. But you know that's not going to happen. They're going to be coming down the wire, and they're going to be fighting. And January 15th, you know, there's going to be down the wire. And then February 7th is going to be down the wire as usual. I guarantee it. Freaking government. Hate them. This morning, the New Jersey state governor, Chris Christie, withdrew his appeal to stop gay marriages in the state. Woohoo! This means that New Jersey joins 13 other states that gay marriage is legal. Dun-da-da! That's exciting. Good for the gays. Last week, New Jersey Supreme Court turned down Christie's attempts to block the marriages. This past Saturday, New Jersey opened up the clerk's office for 3 hours so that some couples could be the first to start filling out their paperwork and getting hitched. I read that they started at midnight or something like that. That's pretty cool. And you can get married in the rotunda or at the Senate or whatever they do. It looked pretty cool. It was good for them. That's exciting. I hope that it happens to every state because it's just silly. But in local news, on to the BART strikes. It's not really affecting anybody in the Bay. I mean, in the Bay. That's a joke. In Marin County, unless you go to Oakland or the city. But the BART strike is affecting most of everybody else. On Friday last week, amid much failed attempts to negotiate contracts, BART workers walked off the job. They said nope. This basically put a huge delay on Bay Area commuting. Commuting times nearly tripled, and hundreds of thousands of people had to find ulterior motives for transportation. BART is offering free shuttle service from the East Bay to San Francisco. There is also ferries and a carpooling service. Ferry ridership nearly doubled the amount of riders as usual. By the end of Friday morning, the ferries carry nearly 7,200 riders, almost three times the usual amount of passengers. So people, I mean, the ferry seems like it'd be the coolest one to use, but that's just my opinion. Oh, I just got a breaking news on my phone. There's a San Carlos pipeline, you know, I don't know if you know, but let's see. It just says, breaking news, judge allows reconnection on San Carlos pipeline at low pressure. So they were worried that it was going to explode and do something like the 2010 or 11 San Bruno pipeline. They were afraid that was going to happen again. But so all's clear, apparently. Yay. Good for PG&E. I'm so happy. That's so exciting. There's a mansion in Mill Valley. Anyways, yes, let's go on to this. There's a mansion in Mill Valley that's for sale that reportedly has a haunted past. Now, I never heard of this place because I'm not from here, but this is pretty interesting. It's creepy. I would never go here. The house is cute, but I would never live here. The Boyle Mansion is what it's known as, is being sold for $3.4 million. Its history is because what happened was in 2004, a coffin was found inside the house by workers that were remodeling the house. And let me tell you, they did a good job remodeling. But inside the skeleton, it was a skeleton of a man. Obviously, it wasn't a man. He was dressed in wool pants and a matching coat. So that was discovered in the house. That's really gross. It doesn't say where it was discovered or anything like that, but like, it's so, like in the floorboards or like in the wall. Like, what is that? The real estate agent who's representing the house says there's no ghost sightings yet, I would at least have the house blessed before I walked into it, or like, you know, saged or put some good vibes down. That'd just be really scary. And for dog owners in San Francisco and Marin, today, pet owners are expected to pack the house for a hearing today about dogs on beaches in the Bay Area. This sucks because I love taking my dog to the beach. And if they don't let me do this anymore, my dog is going to, like, that's her, like, thing. She loves to chase the ball down the beach and go swimming in the beach. And she's just, like, obsessed with it. And it's, like, her favorite thing, and she never wants to leave. And I don't ever want to take her away from this. She learned how to swim out here, so I don't want to take that away. A new rule would propose where dogs are allowed in Golden Gate National Recreation Areas. Dogs would be banned from Chrissy Fields Beach, where they can currently take your dog off leash. And also in Marin, dogs would be required to be on leash in at least 5 beaches and parks. Totally sucks. I feel like in the Bay Area, the animal community is so strong and they have a lot of power. I feel like they just, like, complain a lot. Every dog park that I ever go to, everyone just seems like to complain, and they're like in this little gang. They don't like you because, like, my boyfriend has a pit bull, and so they don't like us when we come. And it's just, I never like going to dog parks, so I go to something else. But that's neither here nor there. But I still like to go sometimes. This morning on the next topic, in Black Hawk area in the East Bay, there was an earthquake just after 1:30 a.m. It measured 3 on the magnitude scale, and no one reported any damage. Good, because that neighborhood is nice. And you report damage there, you got some hefty fines. work is beginning on California's high-speed rail. The train will run from SF to L.A., but people who live in the area are not happy about it. Farmers say it will affect their way of life and it costs them money. Why wouldn't you want that? I don't see why farmers wouldn't want that. That'll bring more people. It just means more. I guess it makes sense. But I am going to take a break. You are listening to Afternoons with Harley D. I am Harley D. And I am going to play you some Brother Ali. What are we gonna listen to? It's by it's his Us album, and it's called The Preacher, and it's by Brother Ali. He's a really cool underground hip hop artist, so I hope you enjoy it. And we're back. Just kidding. That was not Brother Ali. I shamelessly just played Britney Spears on the radio. That was my Nobody's Supposed to Know About That collection. This is Afternoons with Harley D. And I am Harley D. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Penguin Radio. Here on Dominican campus. Beautiful Dominican campus in San Rafael. How you doing, everybody? All right, we're going to get on to a little bit more, little topics, news topic that I want, or not topics, but just things I want to talk about. So, I don't know if you know, last September, September 23rd, there was a shooting in right off of Muni in San Francisco. A 20-year-old student named Justin Valdez was getting off of the Muni train, and he was shot in the back by this guy named Nicoham Tepecalason. He was 30 years old. Nicoham was 30 years old, and he was arrested on suspicion of murder outside his home in nearby Overview neighborhood in, let's see, that was September 27th. And what I find interesting about this is that before the suspect, we'll just call him Nicoham. We'll use his first name. Before he did this. He was sitting, he was driving, riding on, he was a Muni passenger, he was riding on Muni, and he was standing on the wall. He wasn't sitting down, and they don't show the videos, I don't think, I couldn't find any videos of it, but they show, have pictures of him in his face, but they don't show the actual video. He was reportedly having a gun, he had a pistol or whatever, I don't know, maybe it was a blood Glock, in his hand, and he pulled it out of his waistband, and he was kind of sort of waving it around. At one point, the video shows him, shows him pointing it across the aisle from where he is. He also scratches his nose with it. He's not trying to be hide or be hide the gun. I can't even talk. And everybody around him that is in a close vicinity of him, not one person notices. Not one person even looks up from their iPad or their phone. And I think that this is just insane, because I was always taught to always know your surroundings and know where you are and know who's around you and know what is going on. Because when you don't know, that's when you're vulnerable. And of course, these people were freaking vulnerable. This guy was waving a gun out, and when he pointed it across the aisle, he didn't shoot anyone, but he decided to go. He basically, report said that he wanted to go hunting. Nobody really knows why he did it, but he wanted to go hunting for people. And I just think it's really sad that this kid, he was from Southern California, and he was just getting off the train, probably going back home, and he was shot for no reason at all, just because he wanted to go hunting. He's described as an Asian man. Nikom is described as an Asian man between 20 and 30 years old with a stocky build, and he was wearing a white hooded fleece, and you can see it in the video. The motive for the shooting remains under investigation. He still doesn't know why he did it. But apparently this guy, before he actually killed Valdez, Justin, he put a gun to somebody else's back, but decided not, he spared his life apparently. Like, that's just crazy. I can't even believe that. But I wanted to talk a little bit about technology and how it's affecting children and stuff like that. And stuff like that. That sounds real, real, real smart. children today, the kids that when I grew up, I'm considered a millennial. I grew up with technology. I remember when Max had the colorful back, and they were really cool, and that was like the sick computer. And now those are just the most dated thing. I remember when DVR, we never had that. Like, that's something with technology. I remember when the first iPod came out. I remember when I remember seeing a cell phone for the first time. I remember having a cell phone for the first time. The kids nowadays growing up, they are totally and completely involved in it. And I think it's a problem. And I think that this not being aware of your surroundings is just insane. If you're so consumed with what you have on your screen and you don't care what's around you, I think it's just it's a problem. It's a safety hazard. I remember in New Mexico when I was living there, I was walking to go hang out with my friends at a bar, and some guy straight up tried to attack me. He tried to choke me and tried to push me up against a wall, but believe it or not, I can tend to be kind of crazy, and I fought him off, and he ran off like a little boy. But that, I just think that's, I got lucky. I at least can respond to that, and some women can't. They get held up, and sometimes they get attacked, they get sexually assaulted, and it's not smart. I don't think it's good to have children do that. Basically, this survey that I found, it was done in 2009. And it surveyed 8-year-olds to 18-year-olds about technology. First of all, why does an 8-year-old need a cell phone? Anyways, it basically ran down the terms that basically students spend an average of 7.5 hours a day involved in non-school-related technologies. This is an increase from more than one-third in just 4 years from the last study that they did, the exact same thing. They asked students about how they spend their time online. Speaking of shocked, since this is kind of shocking, this is just ridiculous. The researchers themselves were astounded by the increase, as between school, homework, extracurricular activities, socializing, eating, sleeping, and family time, there simply doesn't even need to be enough time in the day. So what do? You multitask. And that includes, you know, watching TV, listening to music, text messaging, talking to your mom, eating your dinner, and a total time with multitasking rose 10 and three quarters more hours. So that's, you're basically kicking it on the screen all day long. You're not doing anything else. I think that's crazy. It said that 98%, this survey found out that 98% of students play video games, some sort of video games, internet video games, any Call of Duty, stuff like that. I've never been into video games except once I got past like the Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64, that was about it. I couldn't really stand it anymore. I couldn't really do it anymore. It was just not my thing. But basically texting, being on the internet, emailing, everything just like consumed teenagers. And I think it's insane, especially for girls. On average, they send an 80 text messages a day. Some of them just say, hey, what you doing? One girl sent more than 2,000 messages in one day in this study. Additionally, 83% take photos and 64% share them with their friends using social media. And 50% of the teenagers with driver license indicated that they sent and read text messages while they were driving. And teenagers suck at driving, so that is even more scary. They are the worst drivers ever, and they think they rule the road. I'm not that good of a driver, but I know I'm better than a teenager. I have a lot more experience. I just think that it's crazy that people are actually letting their kids just be consumed with technology. I think that you should teach your kids to go out and explore. I think they should be worried about, you know, sports or an instrument to play or something else. I just think it's insane that that's the case. But I just think that people on that Muni bus maybe could have prevented something, or, you know, if they would have just looked up for a second. And I think that's just, it's really sad how it had to happen like that. And this guy had to die. I mean, that's awful. I wanted to also talk about something that's kind of close to my heart. Breast cancer. October is National Breast Cancer Month. And when I was doing research for the show, I found out that in Marin County, they have some of the highest reports of breast cancer in the world. For some reason out here, women tend to get breast cancer more than anywhere else. Not, well, anywhere else, but more than a lot of other places. And a lot of, we have a lot of good science places up here. We've got the Staying Young Institute or whatever. I can't even remember what it's called. We have, what do they call? Let me find this. I'm going to find this. Here we go. I don't know. It's called something. What is it called? I can't remember. Anyways, so a lot of science places up here are involved in this study to figure out why in Marin County health rates are higher than a lot of other places. And the study published in 2013 compared 285 women with breast cancer in Marin and 286 local women who did not have the disease. This was a study done in 2003, and now it's becoming more of a they're increasing more funding for it now, and it's becoming more. The IJ just reported today about that they're really trying to push for it. That Avon donated $700,000 to get research going about it. Basically, the study, they basically took cells from the women who don't have cancer, do have cancer, and basically found out that there's a slight variation within the DNA of human genes for vitamin D receptors. And they were so, and that was associated with the risk of breast cancer. Obviously I'm not a doctor. I don't know what that means, but I kind of took that as maybe like you don't get your vitamin D. And so maybe if you take I think vitamin D is a very healthy part of any diet, and women especially need it. And it helps them. It's really good. My doctor's always like, did you take your vitamin D? You need to be taking your vitamin D. So I think that this study is really amazing. And I think that I hope that they find something that is useful and keep, or well, they already did, but I mean, keep researching it and keep finding a cure, because cancer, breast cancer affects so many women, and it affects my mom, and she had it twice. She's still alive. She survived, but you know, it affects her every day. She completely changed her life because she was so scared of the cancer, because obviously cancer can kill you and it's very scary. And once you have it, things change, and it changed her life forever. And, you know, it's probably going to affect me when I grow up, because it is hereditary. So that always gets me. I always just think about that. I hope that they will find a cure for that. All right. I am going to take a break. You are listening to Penguin Radio. You are listening to Penguin Radio. I am Harley D. This is Afternoons with Harley D. And I'll catch you on the flip side. Give me a couple minutes, okay? All right, be back.
This Wednesday night, come to Soul Candy 6 and Angelica Hall from 7 to 9. The Filipino and Black Student Unions are sponsoring this event. Come and see your fellow classmates show off their artistic side with rap performances, poetry, and choreographed dances, along with some sick tunes. To get you pumped up for this event, the Dominican Multicultural International Festival is from 5:30 to 7. Have some good food, look at some good art, and mingle with some good people. It's on the lawn between Guzman and Angelico Hall. 5:30, multicultural event. 7, Soul Candy. Be there or be square.
Sometimes I can't move my feet, it seems. As if I'm stuck in the ground somehow like a tree. As if I can't even breathe. Screams that come whispering out, as if nobody can even see me. Like a ghost, sometimes I can't see myself, sometimes then again. Oh. If I were king, if I held everything, if I had you and I could give you your dreams, if I were giant sized and tell me what in the world would I sing for if I had it all. Sometimes I feel lost as I pull you out like strings of memories. Wish I could weave them into you, then I could figure the whole damn puzzle out. Then again, oh. If I were a king, if I had everything, if I had you and I could give you your dreams, if I were child-sized on top of it all, then tell me what in the world would I go on for if I had it all. Poison that's tainting the clean. Oh, then I times.
Hi, I'm back. Hello, I told you I'd be back. This is Afternoons with Harley D, and I am Harley D. That was Dave Matthews. He is awesome. I love him. I almost got a tattoo of an emblem of him, but I didn't. I'm glad I didn't, because tattoos don't really work out for me. But anyways, that was Dave Matthews, and I love him. If I Had It All, that's the name of the song. Let's get into sports. What? Sports is awesome. I wanted to first talk about the Niners, because the Raiders had a bye week, so they're not a whole lot happened with them. In terms of gaming, I don't really like to keep up with everything, all of the politics. Sometimes it's hard to keep up. I try to, but nothing really came out about the Raiders this week. They just kind of kicked it. Terrell Pryor just hung out. Not really hung out. He probably worked really hard. Anyways, so the San Francisco 49ers, they played... who did they play? The... Why can't I remember? Why can't I find it? They played the Titans. Duh. Tennessee freaking Titans. Why am I going crazy? They played the Titans in Tennessee, and they beat them. This is their fourth win in a row. And they killed, well, not killed them. I don't know. It was 31-17. And Colin Kaepernick basically kind of, he kicked it on the show. He ran the show. He did his thing. He ran for 199 yards. He had a 20-yard touchdown run, and 50 of his 68 rushing yards for the Niners took them to a 17-0 lead in the first. And they were not, obviously, this is not seriously challenged. The Niners kind of kicked Titans a bit. Kaepernick entered the season with fewer than 23 rushing yards in 5 of 6 games this season and hadn't scored a touchdown since the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl last year. But he did his first one. Yeah, yeah. Good for Colin Kaepernick. I was at my bar yesterday. There was a guy that looked exactly like him, and he was a Niners fan and everything. He had like the nose and the face, like he was really cute. And I just like I couldn't believe it. It was so weird. But anyways, I just thought about that. Not one player rushed for over 100 yards in the game. Frank Gore only had 70 on 24 carries. So, I mean, the defense, at least on the Titans, did something good. Anquan Boldin had 5 catches for 76 yards. And Justin Smith took 2 of the 3 sacks for the team. He got Jake Locker from the Titans. They got him. But in other sad news, because but the Titans, their owner, K.S. Adams, better known as Bud, he died this morning. He was 90. He died from natural causes, and so, I mean, it's a sad thing for the Titans. They lose a game, and they lose their owner. But on to our old quarterback, Alex Smith. He plays for the Kansas City Chiefs now, and he held the Texans. By the way, the Texans are one of the worst teams in the NFL. I've talked about this before. They only held them off by 1 point. They won, I think it was 16-17 by 1 point. And it's great that they won, but I just think that's kind of crazy. The Chiefs are 7-0. That's great. They're the only team undefeated, and there has been 31 previous teams in the Super Bowl area to win their first 7 games, and all have made the playoffs. 15 made it to the final game of the season. So they have good chances of going to the Super Bowl now in terms of history. They're the first team in NFL history to start 7-0, having the worst record the previous season. Team members credit having confidence with a more family atmosphere. The Texans weren't playing very well because they were out with Arian Foster, their running back. He got injured in the game, and Matt Schaub didn't even start. So they had their backup running quarterback. But, I mean, it really doesn't matter because Matt Schaub kind of sucks anyways. He's like rated as one of the worst NFL quarterbacks, and so he's useless. But a lot of other injuries happened. Sam Bradford of the Rams, he is out for the season. Yesterday he fell, he was tackled, and he tore his ACL, and now he has to have surgery. Also, I think I saw Larry Fitzpatrick. He was probable. He's okay. But he really sucks for him. He's on a not very good team, and he's a pretty good player. Who else? Jay Cutler, he's out with a groin injury. He pulled his groin. That gotta hurt. That is like the worst pain. I did that this summer, and it freaking hurt. Oh, my God. Groin's not cool. Also, let's see, who else? Not really. Oh, you know what? I think I saw somebody. No. Wes Welker, he's got an ankle injury. He's kind of meh. I don't know. There's just a lot of people out. Calvin Johnson, he's kind of injured too. Clay Matthews is out, and I think he broke his thumb, or he tore a ligament in his thumb. I think he's out for the season. I'm not really sure, but that totally sucks for the Packers. That's probably why they suck this year. Well, not suck, but they're not. They're not doing the things they need to do. Aaron Rodgers probably is not in a good mood. He's kind of a baby. I watched an interview with him, and he's kind of a baby. Anyways, I'm going to talk about the big game of the night last night, the Minnesota Vikings, and that's tonight. We'll skip to that because I'm not an organized person right now. the Vikings and the Giants play tonight for Monday Night Football. And basically, it's going to be, I don't know why it's a Monday Night Football game. This is going to be a crap show. Both teams are, let's give it some perspective. Last year, around this time, both teams were 4-2. They had the same record. Now, the Giants are 0-6. They have the worst record of, I think it is the worst record of the NFL. And Eli Manning is not doing so well, and the Vikings are only 1-4, so it's not too good over here, up in here. But so it's going to be a game tonight on Monday Night Football. I don't know, we'll see how it goes. The Vikings hopefully will be able to create some turnovers and hopefully, be able to do something, but I don't know, they'll probably win. Giants suck. Poor little baby Giants. Maybe it's not a very good thing to be a Giant this year with baseball or basketball, football. That's what I wanted to talk about. Jesus, I'm silly. The Broncos and the Colts played last night, and this is kind of a big game just because of the history between the two teams and the quarterbacks. Andrew Luck is the quarterback for the Colts, and he took Peyton Manning job, who is now the quarterback for the Broncos. After a year of sitting on the sidelines for the Colts, they traded him to the Broncos this past year, I think. And so basically, Andrew Luck was playing his predecessor, and he's 24, and Peyton Manning's like almost 40. So I think he's getting up there. He's had a couple neck surgeries. He's not, he's not prime, but he's still Manning. But they played, and Andrew Luck just kicked it. He did really well. He handed the Broncos their first loss of the season, and he basically ruined Manning's chances to prove the Colts made a mistake by releasing him in 2012. And they, Andrew Luck was it was his rookie season, and when they drafted him, and they took a chance on him, replacing a really experienced quarterback with somebody who, while he was experienced in college football, he wasn't experienced in NFL, and that always takes longer to cultivate, as they say. But they took a big chance, and they took a good chance, and it paid off for them, at least in this game. And this was kind of like one of those games that just like is good for the soul of the team. The Colts won, and they were the underdog, and they did it. So it's good for them. I'm happy for the Colts. I like the Colts. I'm not really a big fan of the Broncos. From New Mexico, you're either a fan of the Broncos, the Cowboys, Cardinals, or the Bears, and I guess none of them really. All right, but we're gonna go. I think I'm gonna end it right there. This is Afternoons with Harley D. I am Harley D. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a wonderful week. And tune in next time. Let's see, what am I gonna come out on? We're gonna listen to another song because I really, really like it. Okay, it's One Republic with Counting Stars.
I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard. Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars.